Ilya Sengich from our group in the Burnham Institute is also the director of the IPS program in the Stem Cell Center. And what he'll discuss is somewhat of a deeper exploration of the developmental principles of neural induction. And I think, as you'll see, that his argument will be that if one stays true to that, one can actually begin to create the populations of neuroectoderm that should be amenable to instrumentation for drug discovery, high-throughput screening, proteomics analysis, pathway analysis, that might cut across diseases and various models. Also, interestingly, I think it'll resonate with some of what we heard from Professor Gurdon about crosstalk between lineages, particularly during development.
Thank you, Evan. Thank you for the invitation, and it's really a great pleasure to be here today. And so I want to basically take you back a little bit to the beginning, to the pluripotent stem cell state, and really address the question if we can make the very first event of neural lineage entry more controllable. And hoping that we better understand the basic mechanisms, we may end up developing better assays that are, in fact, feeder-free monolayer conditions, so without using embryonic bodies, controlled, rapid, scalable, highly pure, so that you can do a high-throughput screening, for example, for drug discovery. And also, if we manage to really get these cells rapidly and at high purity, we may have the key to generate the whole cellular diversity of the central nervous system. We're interested in, of course, generating all kinds of neural phenotypes. So we think this is a roadmap how we can achieve this goal. So the basic principle is starting with the pluripotent stem cell. This could be an embryonic stem cell or iPS cell. So we are basically addressing the question if we can, by blocking alternative fates, so mesendoderm, trophectoderm, pluripotency, by targeting specific signaling pathways, in this case, TGF-beta signaling, BMP, and we think Wnt signaling is important in this context too. In fact, if you now use different small molecules, so each of these letters stands for different small molecules we combined here. So three combinations, as shown here, really lead to a highly efficient neural lineage entry. So this is all PAX6 staining. So you basically turn the whole dish of pluripotent OCT4-positive cells into neuroectoderm in only 6 days. If you do FACS sorting, you see this is highly efficient, 97% of cells expressing PAX6, which is in definitive neural marker. The rest of these cells are already OTX2 expressing cells. These are cells on the transition to become PAX6 positive. Importantly, comparing now embryonic bodies directly to the neural stem cells we're generating, you see that only PAX6 expression can be detected using Western blotting. So brachyuria marker for mesendoderm is absent, SOC17 marker for endoderm is absent, and also OCT4 is gone after only 6 days doing this manipulation. And we compared this to a recently suggested protocol where high concentrations of noggin blocking BMP and another TGF-beta inhibitor was suggested to be very efficient. But in our hands, as you see, there is a clear difference. So importantly, this method works with a number of iPS cells that we had generated at Sanford Burnham. So in this case, spinal muscular atrophy patient-derived iPS cells. In 6 days, again, you'll see complete conversion of these cells into neural stem cells expressing, colocalizing OTX2 and PAX6. Another example, red iPS cells. The same finding here, highly efficient neural conversion in only 6 days. So now having these highly pure populations of PAX6 positive neural stem cells, you can go ahead and do high content screening, for example. And in this case, we addressed a problem we faced using this protocol. So after 6 days, these cells turn into PAX6 positive cells, but when we passage these cells, we lose a lot of them. And it turned out that a ROCK inhibitor shown here was detected in the screen to being also highly efficient in maintaining the survival and viability of neural stem cells. So with this additional tool, now we can really go ahead and generate the whole diversity of cell types of the central nervous system. So neuroepithelial stem cells expressing nestin, for example, and SOX1, these cells can be maintained and passaged for many, many weeks. They maintain a normal karyotype, can be cryopreserved. These cells then differentiate and give rise to the three main neural lineages. So neurons expressing TUG1, astrocytes expressing GFAP, oligodendrocytic progenitors, in this case expressing a surface marker, RIP. Interesting cell types like retinal pigment epithelium that might eventually help to treat diseases like macular degeneration, but also other cell types for various diseases like motor neurons expressing the respective markers like HP9, dopamine neurons shown here, and also GABAergic neurons. So a cell type that, to my knowledge, has not been reported from embryonic stem cells are cells that we detect here. These are really large cells with long processes. They typically express brain lipid binding protein, a marker for radial glial cells. So we believe that these cells help to generate the human cortex. And if we further differentiate these cells, we end up getting now also cell types that have not been generated before. So cells, their pyramidal shape, as you see in this case, so they are generated from these clusters of proliferating cells. So they express VGLUT1, vesicular glutamate transporter, a tau protein, the pyramidal shape. So beautiful cells that we would expect to be very informative in disease modeling, for example, Alzheimer's disease. Ultimately, taking these cells now to another assay and looking for their functionality, we can also demonstrate that they fire action potentials, which can be blocked by TTX. Ion receptors are expressed, as you see, in a functional way, and also synaptic activity as detected by miniature EPSCs. So now going back to this roadmap of neural induction, we wanted to use this now in a more to study this in more greater detail and really ask questions that are biologically informative. So is this the whole story, just blocking these pathways, or what is occurring through other pathways, in this case MAP kinase signaling and PI3 kinase signaling, which are driving pluripotency in the absence of blocking these pathways. So what we found is that if you just leave FGF2 in now, so you can block inhibition, you can block neural lineage entry, as shown here with PAC6 staining. And this Western blot shows the effect of FGF2. We have higher levels of MAP kinase activity here. And interestingly, TCF3, a downstream effect of Wnt signaling, is also upregulated in the presence of FGF2. So this is really a counterintuitive finding that FGF2 in this context blocks neural induction. So now including other inhibitors, so this is an inhibitor of MAP kinase signaling, this is an inhibitor of PI3 kinase signaling. So in a dose-dependent fashion now, we can really show that blocking these pathways also disrupts neural lineage entry. So which means in the case of MAP kinase signaling, too much activation is blocking neural induction. Complete blocking of MAP kinase signaling is also a disadvantage and blocks neural induction, basically. So the basic idea is that you really need to find the right level of activation. So what happens to these cells that are sitting in these cultures and are blue and not PAC6 positive? So interestingly now, cells shift their fate and go into endoderm lineage. So SOX17 is a marker for early endodermal cells. So in this context, cells decide to differentiate into another lineage, endodermal differentiation. So again, so we think, so PI3 kinase signaling is positively driving neuroectoderm differentiation, and reduced activation level of MAP kinase signaling is equally important in this context. So the next question we ask is, what about potential autocrine factors, because this would have important insight into something that is called neural default pathway. So the classical idea is you take away extrinsic signals from a pluripotent cell, the cell will default into neural lineage. So, but is this the case? So we used a proteomics approach to first define the earliest definitive neural stem cell I was presenting to you, so these cells that express PAX6. So we can look into all these different groups of proteins and looking and analyzing what's going on in the group of the ligands, a group of a gene family called MidChem pleiotropin piqued our interest, and we focused on this family. And I asked the question if it might play a role in neural induction. So what is MidKind? MidKind is an retinic acid-inducible heparin-binding protein. An alternative name in the literature is neurite growth-promoting factor 2. It's highly expressed in mid-gestation, hence the name MidKind. It's highly expressed in the neural tube, as shown here in Drosophila, and it's also expressed in different carcinomas, including teratocarcinomas. So we were surprised to see that MidKind is already expressed in undifferentiated embryonic stem cells, as shown here. Fibroblasts don't express MidKind, don't express OPT4 as expected, but when we reprogram these cells into iPS cells, they express MidKind very similar to H9 cells. So if we use now a monoclonal antibody to block the autocrine effect of MidKind, we don't see an effect. So this can be studied using alkaline phosphatase staining, so anti-MidKind antibody at two different concentrations, has no obvious effect. If we use immunocytochemistry and NANOC and OPT4 staining, we also don't see an effect. This is the isotype control, this is anti-MidKind. Then looking in greater detail what's happening when we differentiate these cells, we really found that there is a correlation between MidKind expression and cell differentiation. So these are undifferentiated embryonic stem cells. They express, as you see, MidKind. This is the corresponding band here, undifferentiated H9 cells. When we form embryonic bodies, there is a tenfold upregulation, as you see here. Again, fibroblasts, HS27, don't express MidKind. We do the reprogramming. They, very similar to H9 cells, express MidKind. We, again, form embryonic bodies from these cells, again, strongly upregulated MidKind expression. And these are neural stem cells that we derive from H9 cells, also expressing higher expression levels as compared to pluripotent stem cells. So what happens now when we use our 6-day neural induction protocol and use this monoclonal antibody against MidKind? And what you see here is, so assaying for different early neural genes like OTX1, OTX2, PAX6, PLZF, we see really a dramatic drop of expression in the presence of anti-MidKind antibody. If we use an antibody against anti-pleiotropin, the other family member, we don't see this effect. And also the isotype control, we don't see an effect. So this is really a strong effect. So MidKind strongly blocks PAX6 expression. And this can be also verified using embryonic body differentiation assay. So there's a dramatic decrease of PAX6 expression, so suggesting that really MidKind is an important autocrine factor that's regulated and high expression levels contribute to neural lineage entry. Again, this can be confirmed with Western blotting, so there's no effect with anti-pleiotropin, the isotype control, dramatic reduction of PAX6 and OTX1 is shown with Western blotting. This is the corresponding immunostaining showing again PAX6 is absent when you apply the anti-MidKind antibody. So the final, or the model we are proposing for human neural induction is the following. So it's an OCT4 positive cell transitioning to a PAX6 positive cell. What needs to happen is, so cells are taking care of this themselves. So there's an autocrine loop that increases expression of MidKind over these 6 days. So if you block this, even if we have these inhibitors in our cocktail, so this effect is strongly disrupted. So we don't get PAX6 expressing neural stem cells. But equally important is this balanced activation level. So PI3 kinase needs to be high, MEP kinase signaling needs to be low. This can be achieved just by leaving FGF2 out. And as I demonstrated, this is, again, something that needs to be in the cocktail to make this process very efficient. So hence, MidKind controls neural lineage entry. There's an instructive feedforward mechanism that we are suggesting, and which is rather the case than just believing that this is a neural default pathway. And understanding the basic biology will also help to better model disease in a dish. And will it translate? We think it will if we find the perfectly balanced sound of differentiation. So I'm using this analogy with an equalizer to demonstrate that really not only the pathways need to be on or off, but the activation level of these pathways, they have to be exactly balanced, also considering the crosstalk with the other signaling pathways. So this is probably something we can now study with other cell types, also other lineages like endoderm and mesoderm, and trying to find the best way to generate a highly pure population of neural stem cells. So I want to thank all the people listed here, especially Andrew Crane, Brian Toby, and Larry Brill for his excellent help with the proteomic studies. And of course, support from CIRM, NIH, and International Bipolar Foundation. And thank you for your attention.